is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Millions of people across the U.S. working under non-compete agreements will have greater freedom to change employers if a new government ban survives legal challenges. The Federal Trade Commission moved to ban the agreements that bind workers to their employers. Business groups have moved immediately to file a lawsuit seeking to strike down the ban. Joining me now to discuss the local impact on businesses and employees in the industries that are affected are Freaking Myers and Rule Attorney Kelly Malloy Myers. Welcome, Kelly.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Bricker Graydon Attorney Lee Geiger. Thanks for being here, Lee.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Lee, what is a non-compete clause and what kinds of employees do they affect?
A non-compete clause is something that employees would sign with their employer that would prohibit them during the course of their employment and then after their employment ends, would prohibit them from going to a direct competitor.
Mm-hmm. And is there a typical length of time or does that vary from agreement to agreement?
It varies, but typically we see them being 1 to 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of industries are most affected by those?
Pretty much all industries have them. It just depends on the level of the employee as to whether or not, even under existing rules, whether or not the non-compete is going to be enforceable. They need to be reasonable in terms of geographic scope and duration.
Okay. And Kelly, what would this new FTC rule mean for non-compete agreements?
Well, if the rule goes into effect, it means that non-competes for the vast majority of employees are banned. So the FTC's proposed rule will ban all new non-competes. And with respect to existing non-competes, they'll only be enforceable as to senior executives. And that's defined as workers earning a very precise dollar amount, $151,164, and are in a policy-making position. So the FTC estimated that that was less than 1% of workers who would meet that definition of a senior exec. So everybody else, the other 95% of working Americans would not be subject to non-competes.
Hmm. Lee, why do employers feel these non-compete agreements are necessary?
In large part because employers make an investment in their employees and they train them, they teach them the industry, they teach them how to do the job, and they don't want those same people to open up shop next door or to go to their biggest competitor.
Mm-hmm. And Kelly, a lot of employees in various industries have wanted to get rid of these for a long time. Explain why from the employee perspective.
Well, from an employee perspective, it basically suppresses wages. If an employee is bound by a non-compete, it limits their ability to leave to go to another company, perhaps for a better job, a better paying job. So that is why employees don't like it. And also, most employees are employed at will, which means the employer can fire them for any reason other than a discriminatory or retaliatory motive, and then enforce a non-compete against them. So I often say to my clients, it's like your employer is divorcing you, but they don't want you to date anybody else.
At least for a set period of time. Yeah.
Exactly.
What do you think about that explanation, Lee?
That's actually a very good explanation for the way that works. I think that employers view it as necessary to protect their investment is mm-hmm. what it comes down to on the employer side.
Okay. Well, we're talking about a new FTC rule banning non-compete agreements. Do you have questions or comments about non-competes? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Lee, you've referenced employers kind of making these investments in employees. Tell us in a little bit more detail what employers are concerned about. What do they risk losing without being able to use these non-compete clauses or agreements?
Well, in some cases, the investment is quite literal. You might send someone to training. You might send them to get some type of certification, and you don't want to spend thousands of dollars on those things only to have the person leave and go somewhere else. On the other side, you've got employers that maybe you've got a small business and someone invents the next best thing, the next best app, the next best widget, whatever. And they start the company just them, and then they bring on a handful of employees, and maybe the person that founded the company, she's the first person to ever invent this thing. Train everybody else. The last thing she wants is for those people to open up a shop down the street and undercut her.
Mm-hmm. So it has to do with kind of trade secrets sometimes too, or proprietary information, or
somewhat on the trade secrets. Even under the FTC rule, trade secrets will still be able to be protected. Mm-hmm. You can still have confidentiality agreements, those type of things. And under the FTC rule, you can also have non-solicitation agreements as well.
Okay. And what is a non-solicitation agreement?
A non-solicitation agreement says, don't steal my customers, basically, right? So a non-compete is, don't go work for my competitor. The non-solicitation says, don't steal my customers. So you can have one without the other. You could have a, get rid of the non-compete and just have a non-solicitation. So you say, go down the street. I don't care. Go work at my biggest competitor. Just don't take the customers that I introduced you to.
I see. Okay. Kelly, how common are these non-compete agreements, and what fields are they most typically used in?
Well, they are very common. The FTC, during its study with respect to non-competes, found that approximately 1 in 5 Americans are subject to non-competes. So that's 30 million workers. And in terms of fields, as Lee said, it really varies. They're all over. I've seen non-competes in the salon industry, nail techs and hairstylists. They're frequently used in that industry. They're often used in just in sales, any type of industry related to manufacturing and sales. And sometimes you'll see them with respect to physician employment agreements, some restrictions in those agreements as well.
Well, and I knew non-compete clauses were common in the world of journalism, especially broadcast journalism, but you Yes. just mentioned healthcare, Kelly. I didn't know they were also so common in healthcare. Explain how they're used in that field and why they're so common there.
Well, hospitals and healthcare systems may include them in a physician employment agreement to try to prevent a physician from going to the hospital next door or the hospital down the street. And again, I think there's a difference between normal competition and unfair competition. Unfair competition is what the FTC is trying to get to with its proposed ban on non-competes. And as Lee mentioned, I think there are other ways that companies or employers can address their concerns about an employee leaving and taking proprietary information with them, or leaving and taking customers or patients with them outside of a non-compete. And I think with physicians, there's also an enforceability argument to make with respect to public policy concerns. I would argue that we want patients to be able to select their physician and pick their doctor, and they shouldn't be impeded from doing that, having that opportunity because of a non-compete that the employer may have required of the physician. Now, the question that the employer, the hospital will argue, well, we trained them, we provided a lot of resources to get them up to speed, and those, you have to balance those competing interests.
Yeah, Lee, you were nodding your head like Kelly was reading your mind there. Talk about the employer perspective when it comes to the healthcare industry.
Yeah, it gets tricky because you do want to make sure that patients have the ability to see the doctor that they want to see. And in a lot of cases, they would still have that freedom as long as the doctor is not directly soliciting them. But imagine if you've got a brain surgeon, and you have a hospital system that says, you know what, we are going to invest in you as the physician. We're going to send you to all the trainings. We're going to send you to the best places in the world. And in Cincinnati, we are going to have the best brain surgery clinic in the world. And, one day the doctor wakes up and she says, you know what, thanks, but I want to go to the competing system right down the street. That investment is lost then.
Mm-hmm. Considering we may be facing doctor shortages in some, specialties especially, do non-competes affect that, do you think, Lee?
I think potentially. Mm-hmm. I think that you could have a situation where Well, under the FTC rule, the non-competes would go away. Mm-hmm. And doctors mm-hmm. would not be subject to non-competes unless they happen to be an executive, as Kelly mentioned, the higher level folks. But
yeah. Yeah. Kelly, what if the FTC rule doesn't stand? What kind of impact could a non-compete agreement have when it comes to doctor shortages, patient care, that sort of thing?
Well, I think there are arguments beyond the FTC ban that you can use to try to challenge the enforceability of a non-compete. And I think we've been seeing a trend at both the federal and state level that's providing a little more stricter scrutiny, or basically taking a harder look at non-competes. Specifically, I think with respect to physicians, the argument is that public policy argument that you shouldn't be able to enforce a non-compete which would impede a patient's ability to select their doctor, or which may impact the ability for a person to see a doctor at all in, say, a more rural community or where there's just not enough doctors in the area. And in fact, there has been legislation in Ohio. It hasn't passed yet, but there has been legislation introduced in prior years that would ban non-competes with respect to physicians. So we may see legislatures, state legislatures, also taking a look at these and providing limitations on enforceability.
Again, we're talking about a new FTC rule banning non-compete agreements. Have you ever been under a non-compete, or do you own a business that uses those agreements? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Lee, I was reading that even some fast food workers are subject to non-compete agreements or have been in the past. There was the example of Jimmy John's. They had a non-compete written for their employees that they dropped that in 2016, as I understand it. But what's the reasoning behind that?
To be really honest with you, I don't think there is a good reason to have a fast food worker subject to a non-compete. Kelly and I might butt heads about some things. We would not butt heads about that. I mean, if you've got somebody that's making minimum wage, $10 an hour, $15 an hour, that person should not be subject to a non-compete. Mm-hmm. They should be able to work mm-hmm. at Jimmy John's and then go work at Subway the next day if they want.
Yeah.
I think that overreach in trying to apply non-compete agreements to people like a fast food worker at Jimmy John's is what is resulting in some stricter scrutiny on the enforceability of these and the FTC's current look and then ban, proposed ban.
Yeah, Lee, you raised that point. I mean, I think it may be more understandable for people where a senior level employee is subject to these, or a CEO or something. But can you see any reason why an entry level employee should be subject to a non-compete clause?
No, no, okay. I really don't. I use that when clients talk about non-competes. From time to time, I often use the Walmart example, right? Mm-hmm. So the manager at Walmart, you don't want that person to be able to go to the Target that's right down the street, because the Walmart manager knows all Walmart's prices, knows all the connections, all the vendors, and you don't want them helping the Target that's 2 miles away. The greeter and the cashier, there's no reason for that person to be bound by a non-compete. They don't have any specialized knowledge, no specialized information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We do have some callers on the line. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
I'll make it quick, please. Document security. I worked for a paper shredding company, and I drove a mobile paper shredding truck, and they made me sign non-compete.
Wow. Did they explain why, Joe? Why they thought it was so important for you to sign a non-compete for that?
I guess there's some competition in that industry. It's the only thing I come up with.
Huh. Really interesting. Well, thanks for calling. Kelly, have you ever heard about that? Somebody in a document shredding job having to sign a non-compete?
I have not heard about that specifically, but that doesn't surprise me, because I think employers, they conflate normal competition with unfair competition. And if Joe doesn't have any unique training that was provided by the employer, it doesn't have any accessibility to proprietary information, isn't going to be soliciting customers or clients, then I think there would be a argument that would likely prevail at court in our local area, both federal and state court, with respect to the enforceability of that non-compete.
Yeah.
And again, I think there are other ways for an employer to address if they do have concerns about an employee taking proprietary information or soliciting employees and customers. The less onerous non-solicit agreements are likely going to be enforced to the extent that they're reasonable. But the non-competes are much more onerous to employees and basically say, you can't work in the industry that you have experience and knowledge and skills in. Hmm.
We have Anne on the line. Anne, thanks so much for your call. What's your question or comment?
I'm a physician, and throughout my career, I've been subject to non-competes everywhere I've worked. That generally means that if you wish to change your job, you need to move. So you have to sell your house, pull your kids out of school. And my understanding is the current FTC regulations do not apply to nonprofits, so that's most hospitals. Can you comment on that?
Interesting. What, Lee, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, and you're correct that they do not apply to nonprofits. And it will get interesting to see how it works with regard to hospitals and physicians. I don't know your specific circumstance, but it would really depend on the geographic scope of your non-compete agreement. Most physician agreements that I see, the restriction is anywhere from 10 to 20 or 25 miles. I don't see too many 100-mile restrictions on physicians.
Even 20 or 25 miles, though, that's a heck of a commute if you want to stay in the same house and have to drive to your job every day.
It would be. It's essentially moving you from the east side of town to the west side of town so that kind of on the thought process that patients probably aren't going to follow you all the way to the other side of town.
Yeah. And did you have another question for our experts?
No, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate your call. Well, this has been really interesting so far, and we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, are big food corporations hijacking anti-diet culture? We'll talk about it. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about a new FTC rule banning non-compete agreements. My guests are Freaking Myers and Rule attorney Kelly Malloy Myers and Bricker Graydon attorney Lee Geiger. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. We especially want to hear from you if you've been under a non-compete agreement or if you own a business that's used those agreements in the past. Lee, one of the callers we got before our break, Joe, was talking about how he worked for a document shredding company. He drove a truck. He had to sign a non-compete. Didn't really get a good explanation of why. What would your advice be to companies who are trying to decide which employees should be under these non-competes?
Yeah, my guess is that Joe's company did not call their lawyer before drafting that non-compete because I don't think any lawyer would have said that someone that's driving a truck would be bound by a non-compete. I mean, there might be, I guess, some circumstances if that person's a specialized salesperson or something like that. But in general, no. I mean, a running line I use a lot is our best clients call us before they get into trouble and our best paying clients call us after. So
everybody's got to pay the bills, right?
You got it.
Well, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other business organizations are suing to stop this FTC rule from taking effect. Lee, what are the legal arguments that they're trying to make there?
Essentially, the arguments are that the FTC didn't have the authority to make the rule, that they overreached. And we'll see when it goes to the Supreme Court. I think it will ultimately end up at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, throughout that whole process. Kelly, how does the FTC explain its authority to make this rule?
Well, the FTC will argue that it has rulemaking authority under its mandate and that that's expressly given to it. Now, I think that it will be interesting to see what the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court analyzes this, because they've shown lately, I think, a reluctance with administrative rulemaking. So it will be interesting. But I will say there are other agencies and state and federal courts taking a look at the enforceability of non-competes, and state legislatures putting some restrictions around non-competes. So even if the FTC rule ultimately does not pass muster with the Supreme Court, this rule would be an effective overall ban to all the very small 1% of workers. But there are other ways to challenge the enforceability of that. We're seeing the National Labor Relations Board looking at non-competes with respect to whether or not they prohibit collective bargaining, discussion. And California, for example, has long held that non-compete agreements are unenforceable in the state of California as being against public policy. Other states are coming on board with legislature limiting the enforceability of non-competes, taking different tacks, some of them with respect to a rule with respect to the income that an employee makes. Somebody making less than X dollars would not be bound by non-competes. So, you know, as I said, the FTC rule would be an overarching ban on non-competes, but that doesn't mean that even if that ban falls, that the enforceability is assured.
Lee, we talked about this briefly before, but what are some of the other ways businesses can protect their trade secrets and proprietary information, their kind of client lists and things like that? What are, if businesses, if this rule sticks and businesses can't use non-compete agreements anymore, what are some of the other things they can do?
Yeah, absolutely. They could. First thing is, every business should have employees sign a confidentiality agreement, something that says, "Hey, what you learn here is ours. Our trade secrets are ours. You can't go down the street and show them our pricing list. You can't show them our customer list. That's trade secrets. That's easy. You can protect it." The next thing is for employees at a certain level where it's appropriate to have a non-solicitation agreement that says, "Hey, our customers are our customers. You shouldn't, you can't steal them. What you learned about them, the connections you made, they're ours. If you want to compete, go ahead and compete." The last type of non-solicitation involves the not stealing employees. So if you go from Coke to Pepsi, you can't, if you sign a non-solicitation agreement, you can't steal the vendors, but you also can't steal employees when you make that switch. Kelly and I would probably disagree on how enforceable that employee non-solicitation would be.
Yeah. What do you say about that, Kelly?
Well, I think when you're trying to restrict an employee from hiring other employees, those employees may be subject to claims and rights that their employment opportunities are being impacted. So, and the NLRA might have something to say about that as well. The National Labor Relations Board and the National Labor Relations Act. And I think another thing that employers can do is, instead of trying to restrict an employee from leaving and make it difficult for them to leave, make them want to stay. Improve the workplace terms and conditions. You know, if the salary for a particular group of jobs has increased, be cognizant of that and be aware of that and make employees want to stay.
Yeah. FTC Chair Lena Khan has argued this rule would result in the creation of thousands of new businesses and would boost employee wages and health care benefits. Kelly, how would it do that?
Well, the FTC conducted studies before implementing its rule that showed that their statistic is that they believe about 8,500 new startups would be created as a result of banning non-competes. So that would mean that somebody who's working at an employer can leave and start their own business, start their own startup, and that would generate new businesses, new innovation. And then because employees are not forced to stay bound to a non-compete, they can go and basically bargain for higher wages at another employer. The FTC has indicated they think that it will result in wages of an additional $500 a year for all employees, just an average worker raise of $524. So basically that comes from increasing competition, increasing innovation, increasing the ability for employees to have mobility in the workplace.
What do you think of those numbers, Lee?
I'm a little more cynical than Kelly is on, on some of those numbers. But you know, my thought is if they leave company A and start company B, that's great. They're doing that, but then they're taking away from company A. And so I'm not sure that the actual number of new jobs will be nearly as high as the FTC thinks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this, I mentioned this rule's already being challenged in the courts. Lee, how long do you expect this process to take to kind of figure out ultimately if this will stand or won't?
January 21st, 2025 would be my guess. We will either this will be enforced or it won't. Or well, it will end up at the Supreme Court. But I think that we've got some election politics going on as well.
I see. What do you think, Kelly?
I think it will definitely be appealed to the Supreme Court. So it could be several years before we know with certainty.
Okay. Well, I've been talking.
But again, that doesn't mean that non-competes are totally enforceable either. There are other avenues that we look at to determine whether or not it's an enforceable restriction.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Freaking Myers and rule attorney Kelly Malloy Myers and Bricker Graydon attorney Lee Geiger. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Up next, are big food corporations hijacking anti-diet culture? We'll talk about it. This is Cincinnati Edition.